For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Monday Waffle podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Clifford, and I'm joined with my co-host, Nicole Salmeri. Welcome back to another show.
Hey, Waffle fans. If you've missed last week's episode of the Monday Waffle, head to our Facebook page or find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to have a listen to our chat with Lee Kitchen from the Subiaco Football Club, along with the rest of our episodes from this season.
We've got another big show coming up today. I can almost hear the siren as round one is setting upon us.
Plenty of announcements have been made since our last episode, so let's get right to it.
It's time for the Monday Waffle News.
Some exciting news for Waffle fans. The start date has now been moved forward 2 weeks, starting on July 18, which was from the original start date of August 1st.
That's so exciting, Rach. I bet the players are absolutely so keen to get on the track and play a couple of games and get it started early.
I bet they're probably keen to get some minutes into their legs. What else have we got in news?
Optus Stadium has emerged as the front runner to host a series of Wednesday night matches, which will also be televised.
That's really great news for Waffle fans. It's always great to see a good scratch match or game on the TV. And it also looks like we're having up to possibly 2,000 people at Optus and home ground games. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, and I've also heard that even with the broadcasting of the AFL, obviously fans still aren't allowed into the grounds yet, but they've had record numbers of people viewing the game. So this could be a really good thing for Waffle and people to be able to have the opportunity to watch the Waffle on Channel 7.
I'm excited. And it looks like match fixtures will also be released in the coming week. So we'll see who will line up first against each other.
Yeah, I have heard rumours that it may be a derby for round one with South Fremantle playing East Fremantle. So that will always be a good clash to come along and to watch. Plus, Rach, the Colts competition will also be returning.
That's more exciting news. It'll be interesting to see the up-and-coming talent of our youngsters.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speaking. Coming up on the left,
his high ball to half forward's a huge one to win. Gets closed down.
We'll kick virtually on the siren.
Oh, that's your mark of the season so far. Awesome.
We fight one more round. We get knocked down, we get up. We fight one more round.
Come on.
You're listening to the 2020 Waffle Captain Series.
The next guest on our captain series is Peel Thunder's Ben Howlett, a country boy from Donnybrook who started his senior football career at the Peel Thunder Football Club, turned professional footballer in 2010 for the Essendon Football Club.
Ben made his return home in 2017 to Peel, and the following year he won Best and Fairest. He's a natural born leader on and off the field and named club captain for his drive and determination for the success among his club and upcoming players.
Howlett brushes him aside, right foot for the He says, come here, I want to celebrate with you.
And then Carlo to centre half forward. Howlett! What a mark! What a time you jump. And Howlett did it really well.
He also did well by pushing forward and staying clear of Henderson. Henderson is a loose man for Carlton.
Thomas, great tackling. Howlett mowed him down.
Got it into Dio Ryder. Ryder with a quick move. There's Howlett running for goal.
And that was a bit of a trip down memory lane there. So thanks for joining us on the phone today, Ben. You're in your second year as Peel Thunder captain. Tell us how it's going. And did the former captain, Gerald Ugel, pass on any advice to you?
Yeah, it's going really well. Enjoying the challenge of it, I guess. It's been an unusual year this year so far. And we do have quite a young team, which is great because few older guys like myself and Hayden Ballantyne can mentor those younger guys, so it's really, really enjoyable, and they keep us young as well. So, Gerald was a great captain, and really enjoyed playing with him and his time at Peel Thunder, and obviously a two-time premiership captain as well. So, his knowledge and experience was, you know, fantastic to come on board too, and made a really good, you know, friend for life of Gerald, and you know, I wish him all the best with his young family as well.
So Ben, taking it right back, what would be your earliest memory of football?
Oh, good question. I guess growing up in the country, you know, all my family played for the local football team in Donnybrook Football Club, and you always, you know, that's what you did every weekend. You went along to the football. So my earliest memories are basically going way back to what was called T-shirts, which is Auskick now, and you know, kicking around with your mates and having a can of Coke and a Mars bar after the game. So, you know, back to the real fun stuff back then.
So you said you played for Donnybrook in your junior years. Was there anyone that you sort of looked up to and modelled your craft around when you were playing in the younger year group?
Yeah, I mean, we had a number of guys playing in our senior football team that had either come back from Waffle or even AFL. So guys like Peter Worsfold, who John Worsfold's brother, and came back and played for Donnybrook, and he was a bit of a mentor of mine. And when I first started playing league footy for Donnybrook as well, he was, you know, mentoring me and showing me the ropes, I guess. So, but I guess a big influence on my life growing up in the Donnybrook Footy Club was my own brother, and he's 5 years older than me, so he was already playing senior football well before I was. He was just a fantastic role model for me.
And so maybe looking at your AFL career now, can you tell us about your time at Essendon and what you took away from that experience?
Yes. I think most probably AFL players that have been in the system would sort of describe the system as being a bit of a roller coaster, and that's exactly what my career was. A lot of highs, a lot of lows. I felt like, you know, I was really lucky, and I was being able to play in some of the biggest games that the AFL has in the Anzac Day and Dreamtime games. Playing in front of 90,000 is pretty cool, and you know, it definitely sends a shiver down your spine when you're listening to the last post. So, and then obviously we had a fair few lows as well. I think probably the biggest low for me is that I never had any success at that sort of level. We played in two finals and got well beaten in both of those finals. So, you know, as a player, that's what we play for, is to play finals football and experience those great times. But we didn't actually have them, so.
When playing at AFL level, was there anyone that you looked up to? And since being back at Waffle, did that translate and now help your leadership skills?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, I was quite lucky at Essendon, such a big club, that we had a lot of family history there. Obviously, James Hird came on board as my coach, which was fantastic. He was a player I grew up idolising as well. So for him to be my coach was unreal. And you know, then when I first started my career, guys like Andrew Welsh and Mark McVay were just ending their career. So, you know, I was following them in their footsteps and watching them closely. And then I was really lucky to have probably one of the best leaders in the AFL in Joe Watson. So a phenomenal leader and led by example, but also a great mentor and a great friend of mine.
And as you said, it's super important to highlight the highs just as much as it is to highlight the lows. It really, I guess, has helped you become a better leader. And now being a leader for Peel Thunder, how are you feeling about the date being locked in for the 2020 season?
Yeah, really happy. I think most of the guys are itching to get started. You know, you train for 5 months in a pre-season, and then for that to be extended by another three certainly becomes really monotonous in training. So I think the guys are really excited to get out and start playing. I guess, you know, it's going to be a different year for us. We don't have the alignment with Fremantle this year, so it will be different, but it's also really exciting too, because we get to showcase a lot of our local talent. And we do have some guys that are really itching to play, you know, their first sort of senior football. So we feel like we can be really competitive, and that no one's going to really know what we're going to be like, which is really, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a surprise for all of us.
Yeah, and like you said, the Fremantle players are not going to be in the squad this year. How has this sort of transformed onto the track, and what's the dynamic like at the club at the moment knowing this?
Yeah, I think we're probably trying a few different things. Obviously, you lose the personnel from Freo, so they obviously have a lot of key position players, so we'll be changing that. Obviously, we don't have as many key position players, so the whole dynamic's changed a little bit. We have a young, fresh vibe around the football club because we are so young, but there is experience there as well. As we spoke about Hayden Ballantyne, then you have premiership players in Braden Lawler and Blair Bell, Jackson Merritt, an ex-teammate of mine at Essendon. So there's plenty of guys there to mentor and bring these young guys on. So I think the guys will have an exciting year. And as I said, no one really knows what we're going to be like, which is, you know, it's going to be great.
Yeah, and it's great that you have got some senior players on the side to sort of model and mentor those younger players. Speaking of that, has there been any standouts on the track at the moment?
Yeah, I feel like probably, again, those younger guys are really, they're all sort of showcasing themselves, trying to put their hand up to play because they want to play senior football. So guys like Mick Randall, Tyrone Thorne, and then even a few younger guys, Zach Rankin and Jake Howes, LJ Hewitt. There's some really young, exciting guys that are coming through. Ben Middleton's another one, big key position forward that really dominated the Colts at Colts level. Really excited and keen to see how he goes at senior level. So even Billy Chambers, our ruckman, got a taste of senior footy last year. And, you know, he's ready to take that next step and go another level in his football. So, I think the sky's the limit for us. So, even if it's not this year, then, at least these guys are getting a taste of what senior footy's like.
So with those spots missing because of the Fremantle players, have you got a lot of Colts and reserves guys sort of coming through and filling those spots?
Mostly just our reserves guys. So there are a number of guys that have played senior footy and haven't been able to sort of hold their spot or consolidate their spot because of the Fremantle players that come back. So, they're going to get opportunity to play 8 games in a row or hopefully more than 8 in finals. So, they're getting opportunity and that's why it's so competitive down at our football club now because everyone wants to play.
So, Ben, you play quite a prominent role within the team with your adversity to move from mid up to the forward. How do you use your leadership to influence the game as well?
Yeah, I think as you get older, you obviously learn where to go a little bit more and you learn to, rather than try and get the ball yourself all the time, is bring others into the game. You probably do that by, obviously, communication and your voice. So, again, as you get a bit older, you also get a bit slower as well. So you make the younger guys do a bit more of the running for you. But, I really enjoy, being that versatile player, so even playing midfield, forward or back. Wherever Cam Shepherd needs me, I'm happy to play. Just happy to teach and educate the younger guys around me.
And speaking of playing a lot in the mid and forward, I believe you're nearing the 100 game mark. Is that right?
Yeah, so I played, 60-odd games before I got drafted to Essendon because as a mature age. And then obviously went into the AFL and played 8 years there. So come back and, getting close to that 100 game mark as a few guys are. I think Ben Hancock and Braden Law are on about 97. So, which is great to see. You know, we want to have players sticking around at Peel Thunder and playing 150 to 200 games, which would be great.
Are you going to be celebrating that in any special way?
Not any different to any other game. Prepare the same way. I think the only difference would be now that I am a little bit older, I have a family. I have 2 young kids, and I'd love to take them out in the oval with me and show them what it's a little bit about. So. But no different to any other game, really. I just love to come away with 4 points and a win.
Yeah, you've had such an extensive career. What would be the best advice you've received?
I guess as a young player, that just ask questions. Try and soak in as much information as you can. Go to those experienced leaders and find out what's worked for them. Not everything's going to work. As the old saying is, practice makes perfect, and that's all it is, repetition of skills and learning the game. So, that's the only advice I would give is just for young guys, ask as many questions as you can.
And other than footy, what do you get up to in your spare time? I know you mentioned off-air a little earlier about teaching. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so throughout my AFL career, I slowly knocked off my teaching degree, and as an AFL player, it can be quite difficult to do so. So I'm glad I finished it finally, and finished that last year, and have gone straight into some teaching role in a year 2 class. So it's interesting, keeps me on my toes, and I do that part time, and then the other part time job is at Fremantle Football Club doing some next generation coaching and mentoring. So something else I'm really passionate about and enjoy.
And for those that are younger sort of listening, going through the AFL system or WAFL system, do you think it's important for them to also pick up maybe study or something else on the side?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it keeps you well grounded, and football can be a bit of a bubble, and especially in the AFL system, it's a bit of a pressure cooker, and if you read too much into, you know, the media, and especially the media these days, and being on things like social media, that you're copying it from all angles. So to be able to clear your mind and get away from that bubble, I think it's incredibly important that you have something outside, whether it be a hobby or some form of study.
So this year has sort of, you know, been a bit of a curveball with old mate coronavirus. Have you felt some sort of responsibility during these times to keep the team bonded?
Yeah, it's been a difficult one. Obviously, not being able to see anyone, or it's been really hard. I try to touch base with every single player on our list, whether through a phone call or a message, which I felt was incredibly important, especially for our young guys. They haven't experienced anything like this, or missing football, or not being around their mates. So I felt it was important to keep in touch with them, and, you know, a few things, like we had a couple of Skype sessions and Zoom sessions, so something different, but it was well worth its weight in gold. And I feel like the guys, since we've come back, have really bonded well, and there's a good mix of that young and old that are really gelling well.
Yeah, and I think it's a really important time to sort of look at the brotherhood and get around one another. We're going to head into a quick fire round. So who's been the hardest player you've lined up against?
I've played on some really tough ones. Gary Ablett, Chris Judd. One of the ones I always mention is Lenny Hayes, absolute beast and just a really hard competitor.
Is there anyone that you found, annoying to come up against? Did they have really, you know, funny on-field chat or anything like that?
Yeah, I used to particularly hate playing Richmond as their whole team, basically. They're really, really good now, obviously. But during my time in the AFL system, they were around the same mark as what we were. But I just found them to be really arrogant, and I really despise playing against them, really. And I'm just not sure why, but they were the team I hated.
And do you have a favourite footy memory that comes to mind?
Plenty of them. Obviously lots on field. Obviously there's some great games I've been able to be a part of. Some great wins along the way. And then obviously you have your great memories on off-field trips as well. Some great footy trips where I've been overseas to Las Vegas and LA, and even with the Peel guys, to Bali or down south. You make some great memories with guys, and I feel you bond closer with them over those trips.
Pre-game superstitions, what would yours be?
I don't have too many superstitions. I try to keep the same routine, whether you call that a superstition or not. I'm not really sure, but wake up, have a couple of eggs for breakfast in the morning, and then I just try to get down as much Gatorade and water as possible, and try to eat a couple of hours before the game. Not much different to any other game, but I try to keep that same routine if possible.
We had a captain on here before who said chocolate was a part of his pre-game superstition. So I don't know about that one.
Definitely after a game, for sure.
And a beer. To sort of wrap this up, what would your final piece of advice be to young sort of aspiring footy players coming through who sort of want to get into the AFL system one day?
Yeah, I think, again, like you just got to work as hard as you possibly can, really. Keep practicing. Again, learn off those mentors and guys with experiences, coaches, gain as much feedback as possible. So seek that feedback, whether it be coaches or your teammates, whoever it may be, a mentor of yours. It's incredibly important that you keep seeking out that feedback, whether it be positive or constructive feedback. And then, just keep working on your game and learn, educate yourself as much as possible.
captain of the Peel Thunder Football Club, Ben Howlett. Ben, thank you so much for joining us today and good luck for the 2020 season when it begins.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
That's all we have time for this week. Tune in next week for episode 7 of our Captain Series.
Thanks for listening.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.